live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome to Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, and CBS Sportsline senior writer Pete Prisco. And obviously, we have a big show for you this evening. Talk about yesterday. Talk about the National Football League in general, Week 4. Lots of stories. Let's start, though, with three big topics regarding the Jaguars. And the first is obviously Blaine Gabbert in his return. Really not playing much in the first 6 weeks. Three interceptions, two of them off the hands of receivers. Today, the head coach spoke out strongly in his defense of his young quarterback.
I saw him use some freedom. I saw him scramble around, make a play to Clay Harbor. I saw him scramble around, throw it to Ace on an explosive play. I saw him do some things. He took off and ran, although we got to teach him how to slide better. You know, I think there's things like that where he was trying to do it. Yes, maybe the throw to Ace could have been more in front of him. You know, there's some things like that occurred. But if you watch the film, I think, in that manner, you'd say, okay, you know, we've got to find ways to help, you know, use his strengths and our player strengths.
Obviously, the quarterback will be a big part of the program tonight. Number two, stubborn versus flexible. It was an area he hit on in his postgame yesterday where he would be stubborn, and he said this about where he would stand in his program.
The part about being stubborn is our culture and the way we approach things. You know, we have a process in that for situations like this, we're going to still find positive things that occurred in the game. But part of the process is also holding accountable people that need to be held accountable, whether it's players, coaches, and not in a bad way. We just need to tell the truth and find out what happened. And, you know, I think that part we're going to stay stubborn on.
All right. Now, here's where he said he would be flexible regarding where he was going with his team this week and into the future.
You know, we continue to look in ways for us to, you know, maybe it's develop a run game. Maybe it's develop a downfield passing game. You know, we may have to look at creative ways, or we may have to look at ways to say, what really is the truth? Let's take a look at all the tape and see what are our explosive passes coming from, where are explosive runs coming from, if any. And if that's the case, it may be where we gear more towards that, and that's the flexibility we have to have.
All right.
Generally, you do that the bye week. You might look at all your stats, your self-scout yourself and see. But, you know, we're trying to find those things out now.
All right, finally, our third topic here to start the show off is Gus on his own confidence in the way that things are going relative to the way that things are going. And before we hear from the head coach, though, today in the locker room, I asked Jeremy Mincy about picking up the pieces and walking towards the light.
It's kind of hard to move on. It's like the ex-girlfriend, man, that you could have done this right and you could have done that right, and you just like, man, but ain't nothing you could do about it, so you just got to push it, put it behind you, and move on.
But I like Gus's answer better when he was asked, how are you?
We're hurting ourselves. The penalties. Not executing us. Stay consistent. Stay strong. But I have conviction over it. I believe it. You know, that part, that's what I told the team. We're going to stay strong in these areas. You can count on that now. You can count on it. And, you know, let's see. But, no, personally, I'm fine. I'm great. Is it bad to say great? I mean, good. Really good. Not great.
All right, so he had a lighthearted mood at the end of his news conference today. And what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to just keep on going. And that was his approach. So here we go. Now bringing Pete Prisco and Tony Baselli, the quarterback, sticking to the course that's laid out there, and then the confidence level and the things that they're doing.
Well, what's he supposed to say?
That's it. Which is why I played it last. Well, I love the answer.
Is he supposed to come to the podium and say, this team stinks, they might not win a game this year? Yeah, I mean, he's not going to do that. Nor would you expect him to do that, nor would anybody want him to do that. But the reality is, the team's not very good, they might not win a game this year, and they got to figure out what they're going to do going forward. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's no sugarcoating it. Well, they're not a good football team.
You know, here's what I took away from his news conference today. You're absolutely right. They're not a good football team. But they aren't struggling to figure out where they're going forward. They know what they want to do. They just can't get it done this year. They need a quarterback. They need more talented
it's
players.
It's more than just a quarterback.
Well, no, they need more talented players.
A lot more
players
than just a quarterback.
Right.
But again, when I watch, and I haven't watched the tape yet, Tony, you did, but just from the TV part of the tape that I watched, you have to be encouraged about Evans yesterday, I thought, at times. Didn't he have some,
yeah.
He made some good plays in the back end. I mean,
no, some of the young guys are making good plays, and listen, I don't think defense is, I mean, you give up 37 points, seven of it was a pick six, and a bunch of interceptions late that gave you great field position for the Colts. But overall, I thought the defense is not the – I mean, it's not a great defense, but it's not a terrible
defense.
They're
fighting.
Yeah, they're – I mean, listen, they make some plays and they do some things and got to cut out some of the errors that they have. But they're not the issue. I mean, they're on the field so much. At one point, I think the first nine drives of the game was 5-3 and outs, I believe, 2-4 and outs, and 2-5 and outs. I mean, so – I mean, come on.
Well, the first interception for a touchdown, it's 3-3, and you're in the second quarter against the Colts. You're playing a pretty good football team.
No, right, that's there. What I'm saying. Yeah, you throw that pick, and then all of a sudden it's 10-3.
Yeah, and then it goes.
Right, and it just falls off. You know, falls off the cliff, and that's a ball. Listen, I don't think Cecil, you know, had a great day, and he struggled.
Had a bad day.
Yeah, that one hits his hands, and yeah, was he interfered with? Sure, but.
Well,
you got to make those plays.
Let's go back to the quarterback.
That's the thing. No one before we go to the quarterback, no one's making plays right now. There's no playmakers. And so I agree with Gus. You have to find out what you do well. But defensively, I think there's some things you can pick out. Offensively, I'm not sure what you do well right now. And I think I'll say this. We're going to go to the quarterback here in a second. I believe it starts up front. I'll go back to that. I've been saying that all year. And I'm not just saying that because of the position I played. But if you can't block and you can't run and you can't get it 6 inches on third and one, I mean, it's hard to win, especially when you have a quarterback that is struggling. And the one thing the line did better, they did better protecting the pass protection was much better, but they still couldn't run the ball.
By the way, on Sundays, I do a show with a wide receiver. All he ever talks about is the wide receivers. On Monday, we come in here and do a show with an offensive lineman. All you ever do is talk about the offensive lineman.
But am I wrong on this one, Pete?
No, you're not. Nor is he usually. But no, look, the offensive line, I agree with you, they pass protected a little bit better yesterday. There were times where Blaine
jumped out of the pocket.
Oh, yeah, out of the pocket when he didn't need to.
Didn't need to. He doesn't. He still does not do a good job of feeling his way through the pocket.
Has no idea how to climb the pocket.
And
none.
And it's, I mean, I guess we do this all the time, look at Andrew Luck and compare him. I mean, Andrew Luck is a master in the pocket after a year and a half. I mean, he is just calm. He moves around. He buys time. He climbs the pocket. He slides here, slides there. And that's what you have to do to be a great quarterback in this league. I mean, look at any of them. Any of the good ones do that in the pocket. And Blaine still does not have a feel for that at this point.
When you look at him, right, 26 starts, 5-21. Obviously, the pocket presence, which has been, you know, his Achilles heel since he got here, has not improved. You know, it seems real simple to say you got to get yourself a quarterback because it doesn't look like he's going to evolve into that. Now, there's a long way to go this season. And when he gets Blackman and Shorts and maybe Mercedes, and if the run, I mean, and you said it so well, there's so many different things. Look at how many I just listed. But at this point in time, the biggest problem that any team has is if they don't have the quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's hard to gauge the pocket presence on a guy coming out of school. I mean, I looked at him, and I saw things that made me draw my eye to him. And when on the practice field, you'd sit there and you'd see a laser shot in the middle of the field. You go, whoa, yeah, you just come to the right and come to the left and throw one in the middle of the field. But that's not live. And when the game gets live, it's not a toughness thing. It's a feel thing. You either have that or you don't. I don't know if you can learn that. And you talk about luck. That's in him. It's been in him his entire life. He somehow, some way, that's in you. Peyton Manning, it's in you. I saw one yesterday, RG3, who I didn't think had that in him, climbed the pocket and pressure and threw a throw down the field. Guys, see, to me, I'm not sure you can get that. And then not just moving, just knowing how to move with your head up and throwing, knowing where somebody's going to come open on the other side instead of committing here. He commits here, and then if it's not there, then it's automatically, I'm out of there. And didn't you think he did that on the one yesterday? It looked like he was trying to get Maurice out of the backfield. I couldn't see it from it was on the TV, but you probably saw it on the tape. They jumped Maurice, so he had nowhere there. And instead of turning and coming back, and I don't know if there was anything open on the backside. It didn't look like anybody's open all day, to be honest with you. He gets out of there. You can't do that.
No, listen. And, Brian, you just said it. I mean, you go down a list of all the things.
And I'm not trying to assassinate him.
I'm not either.
I'm just trying to point out.
Here's the thing.
You're at a critical juncture.
Well, here. Listen, I've been on teams that weren't very good. I mean, 95. Weren't very good.
You'd be favored over this team.
Well,
that's a, by 28?
No. Not by 28, but touchdown.
The only way you win games or you start changing it, somebody has to make a play. Somebody has to step up because that right now I feel like this offense and defense, I don't feel this way because I think there are guys that make plays and there's some swagger and they have some belief and they do some nice things. I mean, do they need to get better? Absolutely. Do they need better personnel at certain places? Absolutely. But offensively, I don't know who it is that's going to step up and say something or do something to change the momentum of where it's going. I mean, you'd love it to be the quarterback, but you don't get the sense it's there. I don't know how much, you know, how fully healthy MJD is or where he's at.
Thought he missed some cuts yesterday.
I don't, you know, this offensive line, I mean, can they, you know, get nasty and start pushing people around and control the line of scrimmage and the tempo? Cecil had a bad day. I mean, that's your guy that you're counting on. Now,
the only one right now.
And he's getting, you know, they're rolling coverage to him. But even when they're not, I mean, he's not winning as much as he should. And when he does, you know, he's had some drops yesterday. So where is that guy? Now, maybe Blackman comes back. That helps and it takes some pressure off and there's someone there. I don't know.
Hold that thought. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Justin Blackman's return, what it means, the fact that Mercedes Lewis is probably going to be down for a while, and how this offense can find some rhythm. We're live from the HannityAutos.com studio on Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli when we return on Jaguars Radio. Tomorrow morning.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday, Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, Joe Fortunato from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Look, you know, when we saw the Jaguars offense at its best this year, it was in New York in the preseason and down the field. The Blaine was 10 of 12 or 12 of 14, I forget, and was really, really sharp before he injured his thumb. And you thought, okay, well, that week he didn't have Cecil, but he had Blackman, and he didn't have Mercedes that week, but he had Maurice. And, you know, you're trying to figure it all out, and they thought, when you get the pieces in place, when you've got Cecil, when you've got Justin, when you've got Mercedes, when you've got Maurice, you'll probably be able to do some things offensively, sustain some drives, move the chains, keep some things rolling. So you're going to have Cecil. You're going to have Maurice. You're going to have Justin back. Sanders will move inside of the slot, you would think, but you won't allow to have Mercedes. What can this offense do? What does Justin Blackman give them? I don't think anybody expects him to come in here and be A.J. Green and be the savior of the franchise. But you would think him returning would give Jed Fish some flexibility and the ability to do some things.
Well,
right or wrong?
Yeah, you just can't roll coverage now all the way to Cecil. Let's be honest about it. The way they should be is A should be a slot receiver.
Which, right? You think he would go back and play this week.
You imagine that. But and he can't. He's not big enough right now or strong enough to win in man press coverage on the outside. He just isn't.
And guys, rookie receivers struggle throughout this league. Even when they're first rounders,
look at some of the numbers of the greatest receivers in this league. And
Hard. It's hard to learn how to play receiver.
That's starting to amend a little bit.
But it's still hard to learn to play that position.
Right.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne did nothing his first year.
No,
not at all. Had Marvin Harrison there.
He's pretty good now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hope that getting Blackman back helps, and all the reports that we hear that he looks great, that he's dedicated himself, that he's in the best shape of his life, and that he is. Handled it like a real pro, and he's going to come back ready to play. And you hope he gets out there, and now you have him on one side and Cecil on the other side. Now you have multiple choices of where you're going to go, guys that can win. But Cecil has to start winning more. Now, he wins at times, don't get me wrong, and he does some nice things. But I'll say it like this. I always hate comparing, but, you know, let's compare what we saw on the field yesterday. When I watched the tape, our guys doesn't look like to create the separation. And then I turn on the Colts, and there are more separation and more space in the passing game with their guys. I don't know why that is. I'm not a passing game expert. I'm not an expert in the passing game, but I know part of it is you have to win.
Right. And you come up and you press the Jaguars receivers, and you get on there and play physical against them. They weren't doing that all the time against the Colts receivers. There were some free releases. There were some soft zones.
Sure.
And Reggie Wayne knows how to get open in the middle of the field and stuff. That's learned. You got to learn. You can't just run across the field. You know how to sit down in the middle of that zone.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, but it's winning. It's winning. It's hands. Well, you know, people think it's all speed and everything.
No, it's winning at the line of scrimmage. And so, Pete's right. I mean – and when you win and you have that threat of winning on the line of scrimmage against press, teams then back off because bad things happen when you get beat and you're in man press right at the line of scrimmage. But if you're not doing that consistently, there's no reason to stop doing it.
No, and there's nothing in the middle of the field. I mean, Mercedes not being there, not that he's Jimmy Graham or anything, but Mercedes not being there takes away anything in the middle of the field. And anybody who's ever watched football knows those quarterbacks go inside out, and it's hard to do when you don't have anything in the middle. Another thing I thought yesterday, and I'm a big believer in Jed Fish as an offensive coordinator. I really am. I think he can get creative. I think he's kind of got his hands tied behind his back. Sudden change when you get a turnover, don't run into the line of scrimmage. That's the old regime. Take a shot. Am I wrong about that?
No, I always like taking a shot right when you get the ball back.
Yeah, they got the pick on the plus side of the field. Take a shot. No, unless there was a check, because it looked like he made some kind of check at the line. Maybe.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, one thing can be called, and then all of a sudden you get the line of scrimmage, and the quarterback sees something different.
But didn't you want to
see? I'm a big believer on sudden change, big play, go out there and try to put the dagger in the heart and take a shot.
I didn't see the game until today. I mean, I watched it. It was up one of the screens, but there's 9 billion games going on.
We made the screen this time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
The small screen in the little box.
Corner. So,
yeah. It was. It was on the, they had the game mix. We have all these big TVs, and it was on the game mix. So I make it put it on. But I can't really concentrate on it. But I went and rewatched it. But I went back last night and looked through the play-by-play. I was a little disappointed in seeing so many first down runs in the beginning of the game. I'm a down and, dictate tempo guy.
Well, you'd throw it every down.
No, I would throw it every down. But I went back and I looked at it. If I'm not mistaken, I think of the entire first quarter and into the second quarter, if we look at the play-by-play, I think they ran on first down every single time. Everyone.
Yeah, I don't. You might be right. I didn't look.
You don't like that either.
No, listen. I like mixing up and, doing whatever the defense is going to give you and attack the defense at its weak spot. I do think if you're the coach, if you're Jed Fish, you're calling a play, and you're designing a game plan. Blaine Gabbert's been out for 2 weeks. He's really played 1 week in the last 6 weeks. You have no receiving threat at all outside of Cecil Shorts. I did not think coming into this game that the front seven of the Colts is great. I still don't think so. And so I would have thought just like Jed. Hey, listen, we can get the run game going early, take some pressure off Blaine, and get in some second and medium, third and short situations and get aggressive that way. So I get that part of the game plan. Going in, that's how I'd attack it as well, especially looking at the wide receiver situation. I mean, you have no – in all due respect to the guys that are on this team, we're all rooting for them. But you have Cecil Shorts and a bunch of guys who have no experience ever playing the game.
See, I think they were at home, and it was maybe in the back of their mind they think they can win it. But back in their mind –
who are you going to throw the ball to, Pete?
They're NFL players, Tony. They're in the league. You throw it to whoever's in the league. You suit them up and you play them. Who's Tom Brady throwing them to? Weeks ago, everybody's talking about who's
now,
Tom Brady.
Now we're going to compare Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert.
But that's not it. Because he does it, now Mr. Tompkins is all of a sudden becoming a good player. They got him off the scrap.
You're talking about Tom Brady. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I understand
We're talking
that.
About a guy they want to run out of the city
I'm not saying,
flames and torches.
If
Tompkins was on the Jaguars roster, what would he be doing? Now, I'm not saying forget it. He wouldn't be where he is.
Okay, but if Brady was on the roster,
but they
be
throw
different.
To him and yell at him and get him. He drops balls and he comes back and they throw to him again. And I'm telling you, there's a certain belief in just go do it. Now I think they were home this week. They thought they were playing the Colts. They might have a chance to win. Keep it a little conservative. Well, now you're going on a road. Okay, nobody thinks you're winning at St. Louis. Nobody. Okay, so go into St. Louis.
Did anyone think we were winning this week? Past week,
some people thought there might.
I did. I thought it was gonna be close.
But go to St. Louis now, and all those first down runs, throw them out. Do everything you can. Have fun. If you lose 35-10, doing that, at least you're doing something different. And I think that's what Jed will do this week. I do. I think that he will do it this week. They thought they could win Sunday here. Now, I think in the back of their minds, they realize, can't win that way. Got to do something different.
All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour. It's time for news. When we return, we'll talk about the Jaguars getting the running game started. Plus, we'll take your calls at 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. This is Jaguars Thursday, and news is next on News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and AM 690. We'll be right back. The Buick Swiss Watch Company is the official watch of the Jaguars, and you can get yours at Allen's Jewelers here in Jacksonville and Hope Jewelers right here in town. When you're on the road, Lake Mary, Park Jewelers, Tallahassee at the Tallahassee Diamond Center, and Cranford Jewelry up in Moultrie, Georgia. All right, here we go, Jaguars Thursday. Second half hour of four. Sexton, Pacelli, Prisco, and the phone lines are open, so let's grab them. We'll start with Bill on the south side first up. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen, I think that Mojo is going to regret not, having held out and not sacrificed that million-plus dollars for holding out because, you know, with those injuries he has, I don't think he's ever going to be the same. Matter of fact, I think he's going to have to face some facts from Jaguars, too, that he's through. The man is through, will never be the same again. And they need to start looking right now, get somebody in his place.
Look, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know if he's through. He's clearly not the same guy, and he's another exhibit in the long line of Pete Prisco's theory on running backs. Draft one, beat him up, get another one. Beat him up, draft another one. Never pay one, never draft one in the first round, ever. You're going to argue with me? I didn't think so, because you would lose that one.
Watched the tape.
Although, I'll say this, a guy that they drafted in the first round and then paid after they drafted him was a pretty big good back for 10 years in Fred Taylor.
Yes. Fred is the kind of back you would do that with, okay. Because in the way the game is played, it's an air game. Could you imagine
Fred would even be better in
right,
this era.
Right. I say this to Fred once in a while. No disrespect to anybody who played offense or quarterback or anything else here. Could you imagine if Fred had swapped spots with Edgerrin James? Oh, my God. And you know what? People I know around the Colts used to wonder the same thing. Figure that one out. You can figure out who that was.
I agree with Pete on the most part. I mean, you can find backs in the mid to late – mid rounds, let's say. Good backs in the mid rounds. And for the most part, you – have to be very careful paying a back a second contract because of their age. I mean, just the wear and tear goes. Very few. Fred was one of them. Adrian Peterson's another one. I mean, there's not a long list of guys that can continue to play at that level.
Bill isn't alone in this thought. I mean, I've seen it, you know, Facebook, Twitter. I've heard it on radio. I've seen it myself through emails. What do you think if you look at Mojo right now and he's missing some cuts? I mean, the easy thing to say is, well, he's done. He isn't the same guy any longer. I mean, is it clear to you
that
foot is still a problem for him?
He does not have the explosiveness that he had before the foot injury. It does not look like it.
No.
Now, in fairness to him, the offensive line has not been doing a good job of blocking either. It's not like there's gaping holes that he's missing.
And I didn't watch this tape yet, but there looked to me on TV there were a couple that he missed on the backside and little cuts that he would have made normally in the past. Look, people are going to say, you know, I've been hard on Maurice over the years, and we've gotten into our little spats over the years. But I like Maurice. I do, as a guy. But
yeah. I mean, the only one I really saw him miss, I thought on that third and one that they got stopped for, I don't know why he cut it back when everything was open front side at least to get a yard. I mean, but maybe that's the way the play's designed. I'm not sure. But that was the only one I thought he missed.
I'll tell you another one who's starting to look like he's slowing down a little bit, Arian Foster.
Well, he's had a calf injury that's lingered all the way through the summer, hasn't
he?
And
they beat him up. He's had over 300 carries the last three years.
That's a lot.
I mean, he only has so many carries in that body. It's a bad, violent
Reggie Bush is finding the fountain of youth.
He's an airback. He's a different animal.
All of a sudden, Mojo's a hot topic. Let's grab John, who joins us from Keystone Heights. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm saying the same thing. And I don't know, looking at him, did he really lose the weight, all the weight?
I think his weight's pretty much back to where it was, don't you? It might be redistributed a little differently.
He doesn't look all that different to me.
No.
Okay, well, I can't. In the uniform, maybe it's the uniform, it looks like he's still a little punchy. But you're talking about somebody that has some enthusiasm as a running back. What kind of shape is Fred still in?
I don't think Fred has anything left.
He's done. He's happily retired. The smile on his face tells you everything. Wouldn't mind collecting a check for that, but playing is beyond what he wants to do these days. Let's move it on. We'll talk to Sonny now in East Arlington with the thought on wide receivers. Hello, Sonny.
Hey, guys. First of all, I do agree about Maurice, and I wonder when it's time to give Jordan Todman a chance. I mean, I'm not saying he's great or anything, but if we're going to go young, we might as well go young. And, you know, we're not going to win any games. You know, we're not going to be any better than we are right now. But my question is about these quote-unquote weapons, Denard Robinson and Ace Sanders, and I understand Ace Sanders is really a slot guy, and we don't know what we're doing with Denard Robinson. In retrospect, should we not have drafted a guard in the fifth round instead of going with Denard Robinson, who may or may not really do anything? You know, if we don't have an offensive line, you can't have the luxury of having a quote-unquote offensive weapon.
Well, let me answer this about Denard. Right now, Denard has to catch the ball, because if he can't catch the ball, then they're limited to what they can do with him. And you watch him in warm-ups, you watch him in the game, watch him return kicks. It's a struggle right now for him, and I think it's in his head where he's lost confidence, and he needs to get that figured out, and he needs to gain that back. As far as was it a mistake to draft him, listen, Dave Caldwell, when he looked at this roster, knew he had to get faster. He needed more speed, more explosion on the offensive side of the ball and defense. They need more speed. Dwayne Grotz, you look at Josh Evans, guys who can run. Ciprian can run. Demetrius McCray, the corner, seventh round. All these guys can fly. Ace can run quick. Denard Robinson. So he needed speed. So I understand what he was trying to do. He's trying to get more speed on the roster.
Yeah, and next year, they'll fix the offensive line. They'll have money to spend. They'll use some draft picks on it. They'll bring bodies in here, and you fix the offensive line. And the only guy on that offensive line that you can say will be back next year is Luke Joeckel. That's it. He might be the only one that is back.
You could be right.
That may force the hand. I mean, I think the thinking was that their big push into free agency would wait till 2015 when the cap takes a huge jump up, and they would have two draft classes now, and 2015 made more sense.
I do too.
Well, I mean, you almost have to be now. And you know, it brings me to a point. If I look at that offense right now, and everyone wants to point to Mojo and Gabbert, but the guy that I'm most disappointed in is Will Rackley. I had very high expectations for him because he played so well at times as a rookie. You know, what he did against Haloti Ngata on Monday Night Football with dislocated fingers on both hands, if you remember that 2 years ago, he handled it. Ngata didn't have a tackle, didn't have an assisted tackle, didn't have a pressure, didn't have a sack. Now, he hurt his foot last year, missed all of last year, but I kept thinking, here's a guy with the athleticism to play tackle in college that's moving inside to guard. You plug him in, he's a core player. And as of right now,
he's struggling.
He doesn't look like it.
I think he's struggling. Right, I think Monroe's struggling. Big disappointment with Monroe. Meester is getting overpowered at times. And Winery hasn't played very well. And Joeckel misses assignments. And yesterday I thought he was physically beat a couple times. So you add it all up, and
right there, you're over five right there.
I mean, that's just it's just not good. But you can fix that. You can get. You don't have to. You know, you talk about free agency.
Yeah.
About the next year.
Right.
You could, if you're going to get the next year, the guy's going to be 26, or you know, get a guy who's 25, and then he's going to be here that much longer. You know what I mean? Just get the right. You got to get the right guy, an ascending guy. The other thing is, the Atlanta Falcons played last night with Jeremy Trueblood, who was on the street at right tackle, and Lamar Holmes went in at left tackle when Sam Baker went down. But you see Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Slide, ball out, move, ball out. You know,
that's great team in trouble, though.
They are. But the great quarterbacks make the offensive linemen.
Well, Peyton Manning did it for years. They would lose offensive linemen after offensive linemen in Indianapolis. They had a good coach, but more importantly, they had Manning.
I mean, how many times did he come to me when I was covering a team and he complained about Brunell rolling into his sacks that he gave up because...
I never did that. I was like, where is he going with this? I'm like, what are you talking about?
You blame Brunell for all your sacks.
All right, you can join us, 355. Please join us. Get in the mix here. 355-NFL-1. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further, and we'll continue with Jaguars Thursday. Pete Prisco's in the house along with Tony Boselli. You can join us here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
And Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Back to the phone lines. We've got Troy standing by in Lakewood. Hello, Troy. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon there, gentlemen. You guys are very entertaining.
Well, we try.
Well,
you need it right now, don't you? You need it right now.
We need it. Yeah, we needed it yesterday. Unfortunately, we didn't get any.
You should have listened to the radio yesterday. I thought we were entertaining.
Well, I did, but that's the most entertaining part. Unfortunately, that's not what I want to hear. And nobody else in town wants to hear that either. We want to hear some, you know, good victories. You know, at least I know we're trying, but come on, guys. It's horrible. I mean, you've all said it's horrible. Correct?
We've been pretty clear.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty clear. I mean, and I'm pretty clear. There's no reason to, you know, let's put it out there, say what it is.
Would anybody believe you? Would anybody believe us if we said, well, it's not as bad as you think?
Well,
no, they turn the radio off.
I know we've tried that in the past over the last several years. But, you know, you say wait till next year. You know, well, that's great, but we're putting out money now, and it's not even a good product. It's entertainment. That's what we pay. That's what sports is. Professional sports players are entertainers, and they are not entertaining anybody. Agreed? Well, so let's get rid of the entertainers and get some new ones in there.
Well, they're going to.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't do that.
You can't do it overnight. It's not like you can just trade teams with somebody.
There's no one else out there right now to go get.
Well, you say that, but I disagree with you.
Oh no!
Where you can go. Wait a minute, gentlemen. I'll tell you where you can go and get it. You can go to practice squads. You can go get players right there.
Those guys aren't going to help.
I'm not going to say they're any worse than what we have.
Yeah, that philosophy doesn't work.
No. Yeah, I mean, those guys are.
First of all, I promise you this: Dave Caldwell and his staff have looked at every practice squad, and if there was a guy on one of those practice squads they felt like could help them, they would have went and got
it. But those are the 50 through, you know, those are the 50, 51, 52, 53. That's who those guys are. They're not going to change what happens on the football field every Sunday. Maybe one in a million you find a guy like that. You know,
we haven't had any luck finding, a million or the 10th one or any others so in the past few years.
But that's not this regime. That's the previous regime.
What do you have? Okay, you want the fact or not? Wait a second. Are you suggesting that David Caldwell and Gus Bradley have done something wrong yet? I mean, they drafted one class.
And you're four games into their tenure.
You can't go there yet. It's new. Gus Bradley. Look, if Khan had not... Hold on, Troy.
Okay.
If he would have come in this year, if Khan would have come out January and said, we're not going to change anything, we're just going to do what we do better, who would have been happy with that? No one. No one would have been happy with that. So he did the difficult thing. He got out the broom, and he swept it all clean, which is what people had been calling for more than 2 years. Clean it out. Make sure there's nothing left. He did that. Now, no one's happy about that, but nobody's going back and saying, hey, Mr. Khan, thanks for doing it, because this is at least going to take us down that road. You can't now turn around and go, well, this team isn't entertaining. Well, it wasn't entertaining last year either. People wanted it swept out. They swept it out. Now, when you call for that, you've got to be willing to be patient and give them the time to come and fill it in again. And this is not enough time.
I'll give you that. I'm willing to give them time, just don't do it off of my wallet.
That's your choice. Nobody's.
Well, yeah, I would say that his wallet is being used a little bit more than yours in reconstructing this team.
That's true, but you guys got to be realistic here. You know, we got to fill the stadium.
Trust me, we are realistic.
I hear about that. Got to fill the stadium. Well, I mean, if you're not going to be entertained when you go there, and you're telling me I got to wait till next year before I'm going to be entertained, I mean, come on,
Nobody said that.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be as bad as it was yesterday, and you've heard that over and over and over, and that's what they're working towards. What we're telling you isn't that you can't be entertained this year. What we're telling you is don't have expectations beyond reality this year. That's all. They cleaned it out. I'll go along with the reality. They cleaned it out. I mean, this is as real as it gets, man. This is as real as it gets.
Let's keep it real because, like you said, when I go to work, if I don't perform, I get axed. So
Not after the first 3 weeks on the job, you're not getting axed.
Actually, most companies out there give you 90 days.
Well,
so
they haven't had 90 days yet.
Wait a second. You're a Jaguars fan. You buy tickets. You want it to get fixed. But if every 90 days you are firing the general manager and firing the coach and changing the direction, you've got a circus. You can't do it in this league. Whatever you do for a living is completely different than the way that you build a football team. And so everybody who's all upset right now, you want them to clean it out again? Come on. They need time. This whole thing, everybody understood. They were all excited. Gus and Dave. But you can't just change your mind because you're 0-4. We knew this was a strong possibility. We knew it. Hopefully they will entertain you more in the coming weeks, and then you'll get back on board and understand where they're going. But you can't just all of a sudden say, well, you got to change this one, because then all of a sudden you're just flying in circles.
Well, all I ask is from my standpoint to your standpoint, being that you're the people that I listen to, you're the people that I somewhat trust. Just
only
keep
somewhat?
It real is all I'm asking. Keep it real because...
Keep it real.
Are you not, hey, Troy, what are you hearing that's not real right now?
Well, right now I do.
Good. Well, there you go. We're going to end it on that note. Troy, thank you very much.
My God.
Keep it real.
By the way, three of the losses have come to teams with a combined record of 11-1.
I guess that's making excuses.
Right?
No, yeah.
Kansas City's 4-0.
Yeah.
Seattle's 4-0. And Indy's 3-1.
All right, let's grab Michael in Ponte Vedra up next. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I got the quarterback that can step up in the pocket really well. If you guys can watch him, it's Teddy Bridgewater. I'm really liking him. But that's just a quick one. But I wanted to say, as a true fan, every team in the NFL goes through this. I can't figure out why our fans are not comprehending this. I understand majority of them are Gator fans, but yet teams such as the Packers, I think 1968 to 1992, they were terrible. You know,
they
I
only made the playoffs. They only made the playoffs in 82. The
but they had
year.
The taste of the titles, and it was title town and everything else.
Well, we said it over and over on the show. It bears saying one more time: the team with the most wins, the Bears; the team with the most losses, the Bears. You can you can pick an era that they were terrible.
But it's also different animals and different eras, because now the theory being that you can spend some money, draft wisely, and
if
you'll
you get
fix
the quarterback.
It. And you fix it. Right, it's quarterback league.
Well, yeah, as a fan that was, you know, from the birth as a young kid, I like the fact that we're the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're not the Florida Jaguars. You know, some teams have to share that, like the New England Patriots or the Carolina Panthers. This is our team. You know, and you can't just want to just not support your team because they're not winning. You know, you have to remember, I have family in North Dakota that are Vikings fans. You know, they don't live in Minnesota. That's the closest team they have. We can have the luxury of going to the games. I honestly believe we have the right dual manager this time. And can I share my thought on that?
Sure, yeah. Go for it.
A lot of people are saying, draft Geno Smith. Mike Mayock was bashing him, saying this guy misses too many open passes down the field. He wasn't a franchise guy. Caldwell could have taken him. Did Onsa in Detroit with a very upcoming defensive lineman prospect at the right end position. He was too raw. The only guy you had at a premium position was Luke Jokel. That was your future left tackle. He took the best available player, knowing that why reach on a quarterback and a defensive end. And in the second round, he had 5 trade-up offers and took the best available safety, another position we needed. I thought Graf at times looked good. Sanders was another good-looking pick. And another pick I liked was in 2005, we took a quarterback to a receiver over Roddy White. We all knew how big Caldwell was over Robinson. He waited all the way to the 5th round to take a player you convert to a receiver or running back.
Hey, by the way, forget taking Matt Jones over Roddy White. They took Matt Jones over Aaron Rodgers. I mean, in 2005. So, no, we get your point. Your point is taken. The Jaguars draft class looks like it's productive. Gratz isn't playing, obviously, because of the high ankle sprain. Won't go this week. Probably won't be back for a couple more. But Josh Evans is a guy. You know, you didn't hit on him because I cut you off. But we were talking about him before we started the program tonight. The speed that he shows and the willingness to throw his body in there and make tackles. I'm a believer that that's a guy that needs to play more.
I'd play him the rest of the year. I'd play both those safeties the rest of the year. There's my two young safeties. Build it, grow together, become better together, spend a lot of time together, and down the road you might become one of the better tandems in the league. Look, he was jumping around. He showed some enthusiasm. There was life
in
his game.
I like how he
plays the game. Some assignments
and
stuff, but
that's
going to
happen.
Yeah, with 4 guys in the secondary, when you get Gratz back, you could have 4 rookies playing prominent roles in the secondary.
Which is fine.
And I say prominent because clearly, McCray's a guy who's going to see time in certain packages.
Right. I have no problem with that. I play the young kids the rest of the way. Yeah. The younger, the better.
Well, I mean, the outcome that they're getting right now suggests that it wouldn't hurt you. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We've got another hour of Jaguars Thursday live from the HannityAutos.com studio. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. You'll find snacks and food and drinks and a whole lot more when you visit Gate. News is next from our friends at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannaniaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco from CBS Sportsline, Tony Baselli from the Pride of the Jaguars, and Joe Fortunato from South Philly. Here to take your calls. 355.
You're old school on me, by the way. You know that. It hasn't been Sportsline for about 10 years now.
Come on, really?
No, it's been about...
I always type
not
in Sportsline.
10 years.
It's been probably about... No, it's been about 7 or 8.
I thought old school would be if I said Florida Times
Union. Sportsline when I went there.
Yeah.
Then it became CBS Sportsline. And now it's CBSSports.com. It's been that way for probably about 7 years. You're old school. Okay. You got an 8-track player in the car?
No. No, but I just type in Sportsline, so it still comes up.
They still have the URL, that's why.
URL.
Yeah, the
I know. Okay. 355-8-1.
Very technical.
8-track. Exactly. 8-track player.
No, no. Joe does. He's got
He one. Doesn't know what that is.
I know what an 8-track is, you moron.
You got him fired up. So, hey, look. Normally this hour we really focus heavy on the NFL, and we will, but some folks held through, and on a Monday after a loss like yesterday, you know, feel free to call and we'll put you through. So here's Sam in Middleburg. Sam, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Tony Baselli, Pride of the Jaguars. I have actually 2 points, but the first point maybe Tony can comment on. I'd like to put the Tebow supporters to rest and just tell them that Tebow in New York was the worst thing that could have happened to him, and actually if I was his agent right now, I would recommend that Tim go up to the Canadian Football League for a couple years where they play a lot of spread offense. The field is wider. The field is longer. It's three-down football, so there's a lot of throwing. If he went up there and honed his skills the same way Doug Flutie did, maybe in a couple years he could live his dream and become an NFL quarterback.
You got to be able to pass the football in Canada.
But that means he's going to go up there and hone his skills.
He
and
can't
never mind
pass.
Go to
I don't want him.
Club to tell him that he can't throw.
Okay.
Let him play
in all due respect, I don't care about whether Tebow goes to Canada or not. I could care less.
No, Tebow's career is done.
I don't care. I mean, I don't care if his career is done. I don't care. If someone else picks him up, good for them. I don't care. He's not coming here. I don't care if he goes to Canada. If he wants to go to Canada, God bless him. He's a great guy. I love what he stands for. I love all that about him. But I don't really care.
He can't play football. He can't play quarterback in the NFL. It's done. It's over with. And contrary to what these guys out front think. And
there's like are there people out front today?
Three of them. And they sent something viral. You know, I did a video. I mocked Tebow the other day walking in. And those guys somehow sent it to Deadspin. And the guy's yelling at me, "The Denver year happened, Pete. The Denver year happened, Pete." And it's like, and I'm sitting there mocking him. And it looked like I'm having like some kind of spasm or something. But cause that's what Tebow looks like when he plays quarterback. The Denver year happened, Pete.
Are we sure that?
Yeah, let's keep going.
All right, 3-5-5.
I can't. I mean, why do we do this?
Because it's funny.
It's not. It's old. I mean, it is old. Is it even a story anymore?
But why do they fly the plane over the stadium?
Because they like wasting money. I don't know.
I told the guy today out there. I said, "Don't you have something better to do with your
time?" Obviously not.
Seriously.
I mean, how much does it cost to fly a plane over the? How much does that cost to do a banner? Joe, you have any idea? $600. Someone wasted $600. I got a foundation that helps kids out every day.
Right.
After school program. Give me $600 and I'll go to teach some kid here in Jacksonville and give them a safe place to go after school.
The Tony Baselli
Baselli Foundation.com.
Go and get care of Tony Baselli.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, if you're going to waste $600.
Right. I agree.
I mean, that's a waste of money.
All right.
Is that going to do anything?
But what could it do for you? What could $600 do for the foundation? Make your pitch.
It'd help a kid. It'd help
a kid.
Help every
a kid
day.
Do what?
Go to after school program. Help with their school and their character development. And get a hot meal after school. I mean,
that's much better. Than
absolutely,
much better,
much better right. spent. Because a lot of people said, "Did they fly that plane over there?" I saw there's some note about it in the newspaper, but I didn't know. There you go. So there's your money well spent, guys. Okay, let's grab Daniel on the north side next. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just had a question. With Blackman coming off a suspension this week, how much of an impact will he make improving the offense?
I think a big impact. It's another weapon. They are void of weapons right now, and they need all the help they can in the passing game and the running game, but Blackman will help in the passing game quite a bit.
Well, and I think you can't roll everything to Cecil's side now. I mean, it balances out.
Absolutely.
So it'll help him, too, in both ways. So I think they'll be better on the passing game. Give it a turn around.
Well, I was just about to say, for those people who have just joined us for hour number two, your offensive philosophy is to do what on Sunday in Seattle?
They have nothing to lose.
Seattle, St. Louis, sorry.
They have nothing to lose. Go out and have some fun. Now, I will say this. It's a hell of a pass rushing unit you have there in
yeah, you might get your quarterback killed.
But throw it around. Have some fun. Get it. Take shots.
You got to take chances.
If you line up and try and play power football against them, you're going to put them in obvious passing situations, then you're really going to get beat
down. I agree.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab another one while we're working through all these. Larry's in St. Augustine. Larry, you're up. How are you tonight?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Listen, two quick points that I've noticed. The young kids, they've got to get some experience playing on the field. Because if they don't get this year and go through these growing pains, when are they going to go through it? I understand you got to learn how to win. You got to learn how to lose. They got to go through it at some point. Secondly, the whole Tebow deal, it's not happening. We didn't bring him in last year. We're not bringing him in so far, and he's sitting out there doing nothing. The Gators fans who are faithful to Florida Gators need to just chill. We're not bringing him in. So have your rallies in jorts and flip-flops, but he's not coming.
Hey, you know, real quick. And yeah.
Hey, they told me I had a pair of jorts on the other day. I had a pair.
Let me ask you a question. You think he's kicking himself a little bit for not coming here when he had the opportunity a year ago?
I thought you didn't care.
No, I'm just saying, but you know,
I thought we were moving on. You didn't care. Look, great guy, but who cares?
Thing that ever happened to this franchise was him not.
I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering. Just
so you
I'm
do
not
care.
Gonna. I'm not gonna.
No,
name,
I don't really care.
I'm not gonna name names, but let's just say there was a boatload of people in the Denver organization that were so thrilled that they were able to sign Peyton Manning because it was the one way they could get out from underneath Tebow.
Look what's become of that, by the way. Holy.
The only way they didn't. They didn't care if Manning was hurt. But by signing, getting him, it gave them the out to get rid of Tebow.
And boy, right now, the way Denver's rolling.
Ooh-wee!
Special. I mean, you look at the weapons they have. Demaryius Thomas is a stud. Eric Decker is a very, very good two. Wes Welker is a 2A, 1B.
Thomas, the tight
Julian
end.
Julian Thomas, where they found this kid.
Basketball player.
He's like a fifth rounder.
He's a basketball player.
I don't know, but was he like a fifth rounder, yeah. Sixth rounder? Who is a stud. They got Peyton Manning, you know.
And Peyton makes the offensive line. Even Clady goes down. They put the other guy
good.
In there, Clark.
I mean, they are so explosive. And Peyton Manning is the best at making sure he's in the best play every down.
And I'll tell you what, Jack's doing a heck of a job with that defense.
They're doing very well. They're not missing Von Miller at all.
The next USC coach.
I have nothing to do with that.
ASU ran one USC coach into oblivion on Saturday night. Did you watch the game?
I was going there. I was feeling sick that night, and then I started watching the game. I got sicker, and I fell asleep at going to the third quarter. My wife stayed up and watched it, and I fell asleep, and I couldn't handle it anymore.
I was staying up watching it. It got to 21-20, and I'm like, here they go. It's the typical ASU puke job, you know, choke job. And the next day I'm watching
it's like 62.
It. I was like, this is fantastic. You don't realize that ASU can become the first team, I think 13 teams have tried it, to beat USC and Notre Dame on back-to-back weeks this week. They play Notre Dame this week. Now, both of them are down.
I hope you guys just hang a huge number.
You hate Notre Dame.
I hate them.
Where's it at?
It's in Dallas at the Big Texas
Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. 355 NFL 1.
I hope you guys hang a huge number on them.
Really?
Oh, I hope they just shred them.
Where's Tim Walsh? Is he anywhere in the building?
I hope Walsh is
crying. That could be our face-off.
I hope Walsh is
spoken like a
somewhere.
True Trojan over there.
I hate the Golden Domers. Yeah.
Okay. Let's grab Roger in Shelby, North Carolina, up next. Hello, Roger.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening,
Roger.
Let's
take a break from bashing the regime that's putting a new Jaguar team together. I think they're going to do a great job, and it's just going to take some time. And I salute you guys for being patient with people that see it otherwise. But I have a question about when a player is flagged for unnecessary roughness, and the guy that he hit is on the field, down on the field, and is actually carted off the field. I want to know why the player who was flagged for the foul isn't also taken off the field. And not only that, but if, you know, like Lowry and whatnot, now, there was no flag in that play. But Lowry's going to be out for a while.
It was a clean play.
Two weeks.
Fine for
don't
it.
Know, but
did he get fined?
But if there was a flag on that play, it seems to me like the person who got the flag should be out for a commensurate amount of time. Does that make any sense?
The college game has that. If you go targeting, you go out for a half.
No, the game. You're kicked out for the game.
It's the half, I thought.
No, the game.
No, it is the game.
It is the game? I thought it was the
half. But they review it. It's the dumbest rule I've ever seen.
That is dumb.
They review it, and if they review it and deem
the Alabama game.
Alabama,
if they review it and deem it was not targeting, the penalty still counts, right. But the kick, I mean, listen. This whole targeting and all this stuff, perfect example, the Todman penalty was an awful call. He cleaned up the pile, hit him in the shoulder, he knocked him down. That's football. And he gets a 15-yarder that backs him up. It's a terrible call. And so I disagree. Listen, I don't like cheap shots, but I like playing the game physical. And sometimes I don't want anyone to get hurt, but guys get hurt because it's a violent game. It's part of the game.
I'll give you 785 million reasons why the game is like that now. You just settled it.
I you know how I feel about it, Pete.
I know.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Going off the reservation a little bit, going phone call heavy tonight, so get in here if you want to talk. Looks like we've got Edward in St. John's with a thought, and then our next break. Hello, Edward.
Hey, I got several things. First of all, are there any interior linemen? We only have time for one,
so give it to us.
Are there any offensive linemen that are available to be picked up on waivers?
No.
Oh, well, okay, I guess we got time for more.
Is it time to retire Meester?
No.
No.
Where are you going to play? Who are you going to play?
Who are you going to put in the center? I mean, I still think. I mean, listen, is Meester playing?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, that the talent isn't good enough. Okay. And the question is, how do you upgrade the talent? I mean, that's the question.
What you need to do, if you're Gus Bradley, they're doing is you try to get your young players better. You get your veterans playing to the whatever they have left in the tank. And you hope that the young players get better week in and week out, and throughout the year, you're a better football team.
Who would be the backup center?
The only young player on the line is Jokel.
Well, that's not true. Will Rackley's a young player too. Will Rackley's only his second year starting.
Right, he missed all of last year.
All right, so I mean, is he good enough? And B, is there anybody better? I mean, that's
Will Rackley is not playing good enough. He needs to play better. But he's a young player, and I think he can get better.
Your question is there anybody in the backup?
No.
Backup offensive lineman that should be playing over a guy who's playing right now? And the answer to that is?
I don't think so.
No.
And that answers your ultimate question, is that there is not enough talent. They've got to go find more. We talked about that a little earlier. You can do it in free agency. You can do it in the draft, and it will be addressed next year.
Plus, offensive lines around the league are playing poorly with a capital P.
Did you tell him that?
They are. There aren't many of them that are playing well. And you know what? You talk about the rookie right tackles in this league? I went through and watched all of them last week, studied every one of them. Fisher's playing poorly.
Lane Johnson in Philadelphia.
Playing bad. Pugh played better yesterday, but he was terrible the week before at Carolina. I mean, these guys are first-round picks, and they're not playing well. Now, they're all making the transition from left tackle to right tackle, and I asked you before the show, could you make that transition? Would that be a tough transition for a guy who could play left tackle?
I played both in college, so.
What's the biggest difference, your hand and your feet?
Yeah, I just get used to it.
Yeah, it's not that tough a transition then.
Well, I mean, I think it's not the easiest thing, but it can be done.
That was college,
it's not the pros, but my first 2 years in college, we flipped during the game. We had a strong weak tackle.
You played both. Right. So, for example, if you were here at left tackle, and then the next year they had the draft pick, instead of signing Leon, if they had drafted Ogden and put him at left tackle, which is because he was the better left tackle, would you okay go on the right tackle?
I'd have done whatever it
takes. By the way, I'm kidding, because Tony was better than Ogden.
I'd have done whatever it takes.
Tony never gave up 3 sacks to anybody. Ogden gave up 3 sacks to Dwight Freeney.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. When we come back, the Copy Facts face-off between Pete and Tony, plus more of your calls here on Jaguars Monday, live from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Our broadcast is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Time for the Copy Facts face-off. We've got two topics tonight. They're pretty similar. We'll start and end on the defensive line. And here it is for you first, guys. Vince Wilfork, the man in the middle on that Patriots defense, is gone for the year with an Achilles tendon injury. Now, we all know that Tom Brady has overcome injuries to running backs, offensive linemen, wide receivers, the absence of tight ends. He's overcome all of it to be as good as he, you know, great as he is. Does Vince Wilfork's injury have a negative impact on him finally?
Well, I think it'll have an impact. I mean, anytime you lose a great player.
Well, Pete thinks that
and I'm right.
Aqib Talib would be a bigger loss than Vince Wilfork. And that's crazy.
Right now.
No.
Right now.
Why right now?
The way the game is played. You can get by without having...
You can't get by if you're getting gashed on the run. And Vince Wilfork, if you look how he's played over the last... his career, he is a dominant player that makes it very difficult to run the ball between the tackles.
I agree.
And if a team starts gashing you on the ground, guess where Mr. Brady's sitting? He's sitting also on the sideline.
He's also older. He's
still
fatter.
Plays at a high level.
He's older.
Always been fat.
He's fatter.
He's always been fat.
And you plug a guy in there, and you can get
by
with it.
No, you don't plug a guy to replace Vince Wilfork.
Yes, you can.
No, you don't.
You don't plug a guy to replace the cover corner in the modern era. If they took Talib off, and you saw what Talib did last night, he was all over Julio Jones, and then he made the play in the end zone against Roddy White. He's aside from the knucklehead stuff he does off the field, he's an elite corner.
I'm not saying he's an elite corner.
Okay,
but
okay. Okay, is an elite corner more valuable than a run-plugging defensive
I'm
tackle?
I'm talking, but you're giving, you're not.
Yeah, you didn't answer my question!
Vince Wilfork is, because it's not the right question.
Yes, it
Vince
is.
Vince Wilfork is more than just a run-stuffing tackle.
He is?
He is, yes.
But does he pressure the quarterback?
No, but he's a presence on that defense, that team, and he is the cornerstone of that defense.
Is a run-stuffing defensive tackle.
If he was just a run-stuffing defensive tackle, he is the leader of that defense. He's the cornerstone. He is the guy that sets the tempo for that defense. Now they're going to gash him up and down the field.
Is a run-stuffing defensive tackle who is the leader of the defense more valuable than a cover corner?
In this case, yes.
He is.
In this case, yes. In this case, in that defense, what they're going to do.
Let's take the two names out of the conversation.
Oh, no. Well, no. But if you're just talking about a normal defensive tackle.
I just won. The verdict is in.
I'm just saying, in this case,
how you guys each declare yourself
in
the
this
winner.
Case.
Well, I'd be a good attorney, wouldn't I?
In this case, I think it's a huge loss for the Patriots.
Oh, that's not the argument.
I'll be able to stay on the field, be able to be physical up front with them, push them around, and now all of a sudden, Mr. Brady's on the sideline.
I'm
so in this case, I think it's
you.
Big.
I'm going to agree with
Thank
you.
Thank you. That it's a winner, Brian. I agree. Win.
Agree.
That is one tally in each column.
The argument was
so I won that one.
More valuable.
So the next one.
See, he's running away from the argument.
This idiot over here tried to tell me during the break that Ndamukong Suh's playing better than J.J. Watt, and he's a better player this year.
No.
You said he's the better player.
This year,
no, he's not.
Been the better player.
No, he's not.
Yes, he has been.
He's a liability.
I want you to.
He's a liability.
Well, he's crazy.
He's a liability. J.J. Watt is the most dominant defensive player in the league right now. He affects the run. He affects the pass. He bats balls down. He has more tackles for losses. He's a sack guy. He is the most. And guess what? He's not going to cost you when it matters the most by getting a stupid penalty. And he's not going to get suspended.
That's the aside.
No.
That's an aside.
How is that aside?
We're talking about how they're playing right now.
J.J. Watt is better than Ndamukong Suh.
I'm
going
to give you a homework assignment for the week. I want you to go watch the Ndamukong Suh tape over the last three games and watch the J.J. Watt tape. As much as I love J.J. Watt, he's the best defensive player in the league, J.J. Watt. But he's not
playing.
No, he's not playing better than Ndamukong Suh right now. He's not.
Yeah, he's a better player.
No, that's not the argument.
Yes, it is. The liability that Ndamukong Suh, you can't just put that aside, Pete.
When you played and you were considered the best left tackle in the league, but you might have had a two-game span where you weren't the best left tackle in the league.
I don't remember that.
You know what I'm saying? Not that J.J. Watt's having a slump, but Ndamukong Suh's playing better.
No.
He's not a better player, but
he's a liability.
A liability how?
He's a liability to make a dumb mistake at any point and cost you 15 yards, and he is one more mistake away from being suspended.
Well, that's not the argument. The argument is he playing better?
No. J.J. Watt is a better player, and he's...
No, that's not
okay, let me ask you
either.
A question. Right now, who you want? You can pick any defensive lineman in the league.
I take J.J. Watt.
Thank
that's
you.
That's not the argument. That's not what the argument
no,
was.
No, he's right.
Toast.
No, he's
you're toasting
thank
yourself.
You. Let's go to break.
He toasted his own birthday party and toasts himself. Happy birthday to me.
It's not. He's right. It's not the argument.
He's playing better right now as well.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Go watch the tape. And
I'll watch it. I'll watch all the tape you want.
You watch. You watch.
Okay, so 2-0?
On any game.
2-0?
2-0. That's a sweep.
On any game over the last three and over the next three, you take Ndamukong Suh, I'll take J.J. Watt, and we'll find
that's
out.
That's not what I said.
I said over the last three.
I said the first four games he's
okay,
been better.
Okay, over the last four games and the next four games, I will take J.J. Watt. You take Ndamukong Suh.
I will too.
Although he might not be able to play because he might be suspended. So that's then really the my guy will be better.
You're putting little appendages on.
I love it. Everybody wins. Everybody loses. It's a perfect paradise.
Well, he already said he agreed with me on the first one.
No, I didn't.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
It's like a campaign.
I was just about to go Obama on you, but I won't. We'll grab Danny in Clay County up next. Hello, Danny. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was wanting to run Aaron Murray by y'all, Georgia's quarterback. And I think he's great in the pocket. The kid can throw. He's going to break the record, I think, for the furthest throwing yards.
He's having a great year, and I watched him in person when I went up there.
He was great last weekend.
And he was great last weekend. He made big plays. He make all the throws. You worry about how big he is.
And the
they say he's 6'1", but some people say he won't even measure after that.
And the arm. The arm isn't great. No. It's good.
But he's no smaller than Russell Wilson, is he?
No.
No. But it's funny, when you watch that game the other day, Murray is the one who won the game.
Mettenberger
is the one that you look to, your eyes went to.
He made
more.
Some big throws.
Yeah. I think Mettenberger is probably the better prospect of the two, to be honest with you.
He's a big guy and an accurate quarterback. Appreciate the phone call, Danny.
Listen, Aaron Murray's.
I think Aaron Murray's. You take him in like Russell Wilson in the third round.
Yeah, yeah. You take a chance with him.
I just wanted to point out one thing to you and get your thought on this. So they've moved the kickoff for the Raiders-Chargers game Sunday in Oakland to 11:35 Eastern Time p.m.
Sunday night?
Sunday night. It's going to kick off on the East Coast 11:35.
Well, it's because of the A's, right?
The time that they need to get the Coliseum ready for that game.
11:35?
The A's are playing on Saturday night at 4:25 Eastern time. And so they need – and we, by the way, we confirmed this. Jeff was on the field with the grounds crew, and how long it takes to get the field ready to change from football to baseball is 21 hours by the time they get all the everything set up. They pull out the cranes and pull up home plate, all that stuff. So 11:35 Eastern time, Sunday night, you can watch one more game. And
so
you will.
Go to 2 o'clock in the morning?
Eastern time.
That's ridiculous. Why didn't they just move it to Monday? Do the A's play on Monday, too?
They may.
So, but it's an 8:30 kickoff West Coast time. They're both West Coast teams, so.
Yeah, I mean, but it is strange for people out there because they've never had a game.
It's Oakland, San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There won't be a lot of people on the East Coast staying up for that one.
Yeah, probably
you will
not.
Be.
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't miss.
Until the third quarter, somebody's blowing them away or something.
Then I'll go to bed.
Yeah.
Well, the Chargers obviously have played pretty well the last 2 weeks.
I don't sleep anyway.
It's because you're too fat.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You're too fat.
Yeah, you're pretty
chubby. Hold on,
you're
hold on.
Chubby.
This,
you're pretty
chubby. Get the copy fax slider out.
You're pretty fat.
No, I'm not.
You're like 5'2", 205.
No, I'm 5'6".
You're not 5'6", Pete.
Yes, I am.
You've never been 5'6".
Unless
six.
I shrunk since I'm getting older.
Well, you've never been 5'6".
You're 6'5",
no,
345.
6'7",
345.
You're like 5'5", 215.
No. I'll bet you any amount of money I'm not 215. I'll bet you any amount of money you're closer to 345.
I'm not even close to 345.
What'd you play at? What'd you play at?
325.
Yeah, you're probably 335.
I'm
now.
Not. I'm 310. What do you weigh, chubby?
No, I was. I be honest with you.
Are you wearing a man's ear right now?
No.
Oh.
I'm solid.
Whatever.
Solid as a rock.
Solid fat.
You want to feel that?
I'd rather not.
Are you
flexing in here right now? You're an old man.
By the way, if you want to see a photo of Pete's shirt,
it's one of the greater shirts.
It is one of the great shirts. Every time I look at it, I laugh.
The greatest
shirt. My wife.
Don't tell him what it is. I tweeted it. You retweeted. We'll get it out there. Have you taken it and tweeted it?
No,
I will. It is fantastic. You got to be on Twitter, though. We'll describe it after the break. You are listening to Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli. And it's time for news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, we got about 14 minutes left in the program with Tony and Pete and Joe. Going to pass by the phone lines now. We have put 19 callers on tonight, which is way beyond what we normally do, and so we're a little bit up against it. Let's start with the Houston Texans, right? They struggled. They have to come from behind on opening day against San Diego. They go to overtime and they beat the Titans, which is turning out to be a quality win because the Titans look like they're for real. But then lose to Baltimore 30-9, and then yesterday, you know, drop a 20-9 lead and lose in overtime to Seattle. By the way, they have a trip to San Francisco next week. Then they host the Rams. Then they're at Kansas City. Then they host the Colts. So things aren't getting any easier for this team. Are they still a contender?
Not for the Super Bowl.
No. I never thought they would.
I did. I was
you
wrong.
You did?
I was wrong.
I never did. I don't like Schaub enough. And yesterday was proof of why. But I also give a lot of the blame on that one to Kubiak.
Bad call.
I mean, why would you have him boot in that situation against an aggressive? Yeah, it worked. They worked a lot of that during the game because you work Seattle's so aggressive that you can work that use that against them. So like you know, and Houston is very good.
The blitz was sitting there. You should have seen the blitz coming.
Right, and Seattle knew that play was coming. Sherman said he practiced it the day before, and he did the same thing. So I fault the Texans front coaching staff for that one, but I also fault Schaub. And then okay, it's tied. His body language after that play said, game over. They were not winning that game.
But, Pete, you just said it in the break. I mean, they very easily could be 0-4.
Should have lost at San Diego in the opener. Should have lost to the Titans.
That's right.
So they could be 0-4. Yeah, they have a problem. They go to San Francisco this week, like
you
said.
They're not going to go to San Fran.
Nah, I don't think they're tough enough.
I don't either.
I don't. You know, that's a Kubiak. The book on Kubiak's teams, they're not tough enough.
And yesterday, they took a big hit on their defense when Brian Cushing suffered a concussion. And obviously, he is the heart and soul of that defense. I mean, I understand what the guy up front means to them, but they were clearly not as good without him last year.
You know what's interesting, too, is how funny this game is. There was a fourth down play late with about 8 minutes to go. Seattle's losing 20-3 at the time, I think it was. Because weren't they down 20-3?
Yeah, they were.
20-3 at that point. He scrambled. No, it was 20-6 at the time. He scrambles out of the pocket. They go for it on fourth down. He gets flushed out of the pocket, gets knocked out of bounds. That far past the marker. He doesn't make that.
That far is 3 inches?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
People on radio.
Yeah, I forgot.
You're not doing TV.
I didn't do radio for a while. but, yeah, 3 inches?
Right.
He doesn't get that. The game's over. It's 20-6. They get the ball and the game's done. So, but Seattle, got to give him a lot of credit for being tough. That's a tough guy. That's a tough guy win.
It's a tough team.
It's a tough guy win, too.
But it's a tough team.
Yeah, they're tough. I don't know how good they are offensively, though.
Pretty good.
They're the best. Right now, listen, it's a collision course. I mean, long way to go, and a lot of things can happen, injuries and everything else. But two best teams clearly in football right now are the Seattle Seahawks and Denver Broncos.
And point differential shows that. I mean,
by far, they're
one of them is 100 plus. I think Seattle's 100 plus or close to it, and Denver's 88.
How about the Falcons?
Having problems. A lot of injuries. But again, you know, we can play this game with a lot of teams, but there's a team you could say, okay, the opener, they threw a shot in the end zone. Against New Orleans.
Been
good team on the road.
Their three losses, they've been inside the 15.
Right.
At the end of the game with a chance to win,
Miami,
and haven't pulled it out.
Miami, Miami was a different situation. They were up three, had the ball with a chance at the 10-yard line to go up, saw the way, and they couldn't get in. They kicked missed the field goal.
Right.
And then Miami went down and got the touchdown. But, yeah, red zone opportunities, terrible for them. But still, at 1-3, the schedule – coming up.
It's favorable.
Right? It's the Jets.
We went through this. They're at the Jets in the bye week. Then they host – I'm sorry. They host the Jets.
Monday night.
Monday night football. Bye week, host the Bucs. At Arizona, at Carolina, host Seattle. I mean, you look at the schedule, and folks can go do that. They could get to 10 wins with that quarterback. The problem is the injuries are starting to mount for them.
Yeah, and they're going to get Samuel back, which is big. They got to, you know, he's their best corner. You get him back. Weatherspoon will come back eventually in about, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. So he'll get him back. So, and Steven Jackson will be back, which they expected him to be more in the passing game, which they don't get anything out of their passing game out of the backfield. So they'll get better. They got to weather the storm before Seattle. If they can get to, you know, what do they got, 4 games before Seattle and then get to where they're, what, 5-3?
4 games in 5 weeks.
Yeah, 5-3 against Seattle, then they got a chance.
They got a chance. And they need, which I probably is not going to happen, they need Miami to beat New Orleans tonight.
That didn't happen. You think that could happen?
I picked them.
You pick Miami?
Yeah. Why? Only because everyone else picked New Orleans.
I figured that's why you did.
How about the Buccaneers? I mean, we talked a little bit about them last week because of, you know, the benching of Josh Freeman and Schiano and his resemblance to the early years around here.
Schiano's
with Tom Coughlin.
Getting fired.
Some people thought he might go this week. They're on a bye this week.
Right.
Right? So this would be the week to go. But why would you do that to your rookie quarterback yesterday? It's a 10-3 game. Arizona hadn't done a thing on offense.
Yeah, can't move the ball at all.
Right? So it's 3.5 minutes ago, not even 3:20 or something.
You're deep in your own territory.
Second down and 7 or something. Why not just run it, and punt? I mean, you know me, run, punt the ball. You got a rookie quarterback. What's he do? He throws into Patrick Peterson's stomach a play later. He hits Fitzgerald. It's 10-10. Get the ball back. Don't do anything. Then you throw an interception, and they kick a field goal and win it. You don't put that kid in that situation. To me, I think that's all on Schiano. And it goes back, the whole Freeman situation
is
ugly.
Well, how he's handled Freeman, too.
Terrible. Terrible.
He made it clear from the beginning Freeman was not his guy. And here's a guy, threw 27 touchdowns, 4,000 yards last year. He's not a slouch as a quarterback when he's a young guy. And obviously there's some off-the-field issues and some things going on. But I don't think he's managed that whole situation very well at all. And you heard even going into the season that there was issues in Tampa with him being the head coach.
I wrote about it last year, at the Combine, and they got mad at me. And where's he getting that? Where's he getting that? And I got it from good people. And I went over there this summer, and I asked both of them. And I could tell both of them were lying to me. Josh was clearly lying because there was a PR guy standing next to him when I was interviewing him. But Schiano, I said, this guy doesn't have fire in his belly. You don't like him. And he goes, that's not true. We've had a great, he lied. They clearly didn't. He doesn't like him. He never liked him. You know, when you have a guy like Schiano, who's a lot like Coughlin, love of the game, fire in the belly, huddle, rah-rah, that's what he wants. Well, that's not who he is. Coughlin had his problems with Brunell. I mean, let's be honest about it. Until they figured out who each other was, you're going to have problems. So why, if you're going to have a problem finding out who this guy is, if he's your guy, just cut it off and say he's not your guy after 3 games? That's ridiculous. So he's going to go down with the rookie. He's going to go down with the ship.
How about the Browns? I mean, bears noting, they trade Trent Richardson. Everyone says they're giving up the season. They go to Minnesota and beat Minnesota, and then they go to Cincinnati.
No,
Cincinnati went to them. Sorry. Yeah. Cincinnati didn't really put up much of a fight yesterday.
No. Well, it was a close game, but Cincinnati, Andy didn't.
For their talent level?
Yeah.
How can Cincinnati not score?
You know, well, first off, I'm going to put a Gruden on notice. That Jay Gruden's calling it bad games. Call him bad games. For a guy who's supposedly this great offensive mind, he has all these weapons.
He has
now.
Tons of weapons.
I mean, you have A.J. Green, Eifert,
Gresham,
Sanu, Bernard.
Giannovi Bernard.
I mean, you have a ton of weapons, and they don't use them. They had a fourth down play. They went for it. They handed off to Ben Jarvis. Green Ellis deep in the backfield got stuffed on the 7-yard line. Kick a field goal. 7-3. Marvin, kick a field goal. You have a great defense. Kick a field goal. Make it 7-6. He didn't. He went for it. Just little things. And I, you know, here's another thing, too. I was told this. You know better than me. But their offensive linemen are coached to take the step back before engaging. So when you have a short quarterback, when you take that step back and then engage, I guess he teaches it. Paul Alexander teaches it that way. When you teach it that way, well, those guys immediately are back. So you have a 6-foot quarterback. You're going to have a lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. So you have a lot of passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. That's a problem, too.
I was shocked by that. But Give the Browns credit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 2-2. Good
on defense.
Yeah, we knew that going in, that they're going to be very good defense. Hoyer's doing a good job. And
it shows you that late in the game, they needed to get a first down. They handed it off to McGahee, who's 442 years old, and he went and got a first down. That the value of the running back in this league is nothing. He can find guys.
Well, Trent Richardson was powerful, but yesterday he didn't look like a guy who was the third overall pick in the draft.
I just don't see
it. I didn't see it either. He did nothing to impress me.
No, not at all.
And I guess finally, tonight's game, 2 undefeated teams. ESPN's got to be thrilled with that. Miami and Ryan Tannehill getting a lot of press.
No Cameron Wake, though.
No Solei either, right? Or he's hurt.
He's supposed to go, but
he's really bad. He didn't play last week.
Cameron Wake's inactive.
Solei was on crutches last week.
Solei has a good interior.
Oh, he's a monster.
No Wake hurts, though, because if you can't affect Drew Brees, he's going to shred you.
And Brent Grimes has played really well this year on the one corner. The other side, not so much. And so I would imagine with all those weapons, Drew Brees is going to put up a big...
Can you affect Drew Brees? I mean, I've seen teams with real pass rush go in there, and he just shreds them.
I'll tell you what. There's been a couple games where I've seen him really get affected by the quarterback. A couple years ago against the Rams when they got upset by the Rams hit him a bunch. His tackles got beat.
Yeah.
And one thing about Drew Brees, any quarterback, but him especially, when he's so little, when you start hitting him and moving him a little bit, he's really affected by it. The Falcons got him last year in the Georgia Dome. They hit him a bunch, and he threw a bunch of picks. You can get him jumpy a little bit. You'd be okay.
That's a really tough place to play.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is a tough place, but...
Miami's not ready for that yet.
I don't know. They're pretty. I give them a ton of credit. I mean, Tannehill's come a long way.
I agree, but they're not ready for this yet. I think.
How good is he?
He's pretty dang good.
He drove to a touchdown last week. We talked about that last week. You didn't drive to a field goal. You drove to a touchdown to get the winning score, not the tying score, the winning score. That's impressive. But in this place, with all those looks, That pressure, his line's still a little shaky. I think he's going to hit a ton tonight. I will be shocked if he doesn't hit a ton.
He looks like it. I mean, everything I see, he's a tough kid. He's a competitor. He's gritty. I mean, I like him a lot.
Cameron Jordan, the emerging star in New Orleans. He is really good. Defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I always like young defensive linemen that fit.
It's Cal guy.
And all of a sudden, yeah, you start playing better. He's starting to play better, and to the point where they're really impressed with him.
Final thought, I guess, but 2 minutes left here. The Giants.
Trouble.
I'm astounded.
I don't understand how you can be that bad with all the talent they have. They're so bad up front, though. Their offensive line is.
The offensive line's not good. Jason Pierre-Paul has been a shell of himself.
Their defense has not been that good for a long time, and they got away with it because their front four was so good.
Right.
It covered up a lot of warts in the back half.
But they actually played pretty good football on defense yesterday, and the offense was horrendous. Terrible.
Are they that bad up front, Pete?
They'll beat the Eagles this week. And think about this. They're 0-4, and they're only two games out of first place in that division. Dallas is 2-2, and they're in first place. Bad division.
I just can't even imagine the last 2 weeks being on Tom Coughlin's airplane, coming home from Carolina.
Yeah, but this
down
is where Tom like goes the other way.
Yeah, he's not this when his team is this bad. He gets all like mellow and tries to figure it out here instead of being the irrational Tom. Right? I mean, you've been around him. You know.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that they can't score points with Victor Cruz, with Hakeem Nicks, Eli Manning.
Myers, who's a pretty good weapon in the middle of the field. The offensive line's bad. And the running game.
Well, they're bad and they're injured, too. I mean, right. The best guy, Chris Snee, is
and
out.
And he's been a shell of himself this year. And, you know, Chris Snee has been a really good player for a long time. He's got a hip problem.
Yeah.
And when you have a hip problem, it's tough to play.
It's hard to bend.
Yeah.
All right. So the Jaguars take off and go to St. Louis this week. Your thoughts on the Rams before we really didn't mention
I'm
them.
Disappointed in the
I
Rams.
I am, too. I thought they'd be way better.
I didn't think they'd be better, that much better. I thought they'd be a year away.
I'm surprised their defense is getting gashed the way they are.
The secondary.
Yeah, but they're getting run. I mean, the last 2 weeks, the running game has just shredded
them. And Brockers is a guy I thought was going to have a big step-up year, and he hadn't done it. He's been a disappointment.
I mean, I'm shocked that front seven can't hold up against a run better than they
are. Boy, I'll tell you what. Eugene Monroe, get your rest this week. Yeah. Robert Quinn is a beast.
He's a good player.
Brings it. Thanks, guy. Appreciate it. Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato, and yours truly signing off Jaguars Monday. Have a great night, everybody.